Okay, good morning, everybody. We're going to get started. Today is the third part in our six-part series of the six habits of highly successful religious people. And in essence, that has been our attempt to highlight six different midos, which I think are essential for the building blocks of a religious character in general, and obviously for a religious and observant Jew. In our initial and previous two shiurim, we spoke about chesed, the importance of being a kind personality, as well as last week he spoke about empathy, what the Mishnah refers to as imo anochi betzara, the need to be able to be empathic and then empathize with people. As we move now to our third shiur, I'd like to discuss the topic of humility. And I think this is a critical midah as well. I hope everyone can see the source sheet, which I am now sharing with all of you. And I think that if we can properly understand the role of humility, we will see why it is such a critical and vital characteristic and midah for everyone to possess. Perhaps more so than either of the previous two shiurim, and maybe even the subsequent shiurim, which we'll have as well, humility is in fact incredibly confusing and difficult to pin down, which is why I think it makes this study that we'll have so important. First of all, what makes humility unique, as opposed to the other midos that we're discussing, is it kind of has an evil twin brother, known as gaiva, or arrogance. We don't necessarily think of that. It's true that you can always think of, in any mida, you could always think of its opposite, but I don't know that there's necessarily a word or a category that is parallel to gaiva in other areas. Whereas when it comes to anava, humility, and gaiva, we really very much see those as two sides of the same coin. And in fact, there are numerous sources and incredible amount of material in Chazal that focus on both of these ideas. So that's number one. Just, it's a fascinating phenomenon that more so, we can understand, for example, with chesed, there is somebody who is not a Baal Chesed, but there's not really even a word for that, and you certainly don't have tremendous attention being paid by Chazal or other Mefarshim to that opposite. We just have people extolling the importance and the virtues of Chesed. So that's one thing that makes humility unique. But the other, and the one that I want to focus on most importantly, is it's simply difficult to pin down what exactly is humility. And I'll just mention briefly, there's a well-known story, at least a well-known humorous story in rabbinic circles. I imagine many of you have heard it, of the shul on Kol Nidrei night, and everyone is overcome with great inspiration and feeling great focus on spiritual elevation, at which point, the rabbi runs up to the Aron Kodesh, and he screams out with great humility, "Ich bin a gurnisht! I'm a nobody!" And inspired and overcome by this great display by the rabbi, the chazan runs up to the Aron Kodesh and grabs hold of the parochet. "I'm also a nothing, I'm also a gurnisht." And then after the two of them do it, the president of the shul can't contain himself anymore, and he breaks down and he grabs hold to the parochas and he screams, "Ich bin a gurnisht, I'm also a nothing." Seeing these three community leaders display such great humility, someone from the back of the shul runs up and starts screaming, "I'm also a gurnisht, ich bin a gurnisht." To which, at which point, the president looks dismissively over to the chazan and the rabbi and says, "Look who thinks he's a nobody." Now, this kind of cute little rabbinic story or joke, I think, actually contains something deeply profound, which is it really begs the question, what does it mean to be humble? First of all, does it mean that I'm supposed to think I'm a nobody? And even if it does mean that, where does that leave space for any sense of, healthy self-esteem? Where's the line between humility and insecurity or lack of self-esteem? And even though in the modern or secular sense, we've become much more sensitive to the importance of self-esteem only in more recent decades, but I'd like to show, and I think it's true, that in Chazal, and especially in some of the more early Mefarshim, certainly early Achronim, we have already a sensitivity and a nuanced view to this. So without further ado, as an introduction, let's jump right into some of the sources that I prepared for you. And there are actually quite a bit of sources on the source sheet. I can.
Thank you.
So, if you,
Thank you.
if you take a look at the sources, which is actually quite a good group of sources, even though, in fact, on some level, it's actually a fraction of what I could have included, I want to just run through very briefly. Time will probably not permit to do too much of it inside, but run through very briefly a sampling of the sources which both extol humility, anava, as well as speak about how damaging and dangerous gaiva or arrogance is. So just as an example, again, a brief representative sample, the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin in the first source on your sheet says, who is a ben olam haba? Who is someone who deserves to merit the world to come? Now, obviously, this is something that we'd all like to know the answer to, because we all hope that that answer includes us. And the Gemara lists a number of attributes that would characterize a ben olam haba. And it's striking that not only is humility on the list, it is the very first thing on the list, as well as some other related characteristics. Anvason shvel berech, shayef ayel, v'shayech nafik. Somebody who is genuinely humble, someone who is not self-possessed, someone who kind of walks in without drawing attention to himself. All of those are the very first things which are broadly based, describing humility, all of which are the first things which are considered to be a ben olam haba. The Gemara then goes in to talk about someone who's a Talmud Chacham, who doesn't, take things for granted, other characteristics. But the very first thing is humility. Obviously, that is striking. In the second source, we have a somewhat obscure, or at least not such a well-known, collection of Midrashim called the Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer, but this is a Medrash. And the Medrash here tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only going to be morish, the olam haba, to the Anavim. Hashem will only allow people who are genuinely humble to inherit the next world. Now that's, of course, consistent with what we just saw in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that getting to the next world, getting that ultimate reward in Olam Haba, is connected very much to humility. And the Medrash in the second line actually mentions as well, in a somewhat similar vein, another spiritual benefit that one might hope for, Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Masha Ruach HaKodesh. Now, I don't know if anybody in the current generation can truly aspire to actual Ruach HaKodesh, but there certainly was a time in history where people had either prophecy or some kind of quasi-downgraded prophecy, which is called Ruach HaKodesh. Newsflash, full confession, I don't have either of them, so I can't tell you exactly I know what they are, but I certainly believe that they have existed. Hopefully one day will re-exist. And even if no one nowadays has Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh, the fact that the Medrash says that Hashem would never give Ruach HaKodesh to someone who wasn't humble, even if you and I aren't getting Ruach HaKodesh, but certainly that is relevant for us to consider. As a third source, which again, just reinforces this incredibly important point, we have one of what's called the Masechtot Ketanos, the Kalar Abasi, which says something incredible. Even if a person is shalem in all the midos, even if a person has all of the other characteristics, you have so many different things, you're kind and you genuinely study Torah and you're compassionate and you learn Torah and you daven and you're tzanua, all the different things a person might ever want for themselves or for their children. But says the source, say Chazal, im ein b'cha anava, but if you're lacking even one thing, but the one thing is humility, ata chaser. You basically almost have nothing. So again, incredible thing. It's not to discount all the other midos, but evidently humility is an incredibly, incredibly important mida. Not only is it going to help us get Olam Haba, potentially Ruach HaKodesh, but evidently, even if we have many, many other milas, ala milas, but not really ala, because we're missing that one, it's as if we're missing everything. And perhaps a transition from this brief sample of sources, which has really been focusing just on the positive value of humility, but to kind of transition to not only the positive value of humility, but how much Chazal condemn its opposite, what I called before the evil twin brother known as gaiva or arrogance. So one particular source which is helpful to see that contrast, and it's a good transition source for us to see, is the well-known Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Parakeh, which contrasts different characteristics, which if you possess them, make you mitalmidav of Avram Avinu. And who wouldn't want to be from the students of Avram Avinu? Obviously, it's the Mishnah's way of saying that you embody similar characteristics of Avraham if you have these characteristics. And I could have, if you asked me, if someone was asking me about Avraham Avinu for a shidduch, they wanted to know Avraham Avinu's shidduch resume, I would have thought of a long list of things, all of which would be true. But the Mishnah boils it down to three things, and the Mishnah contrasts it with Bilhah HaRasha, who was a paradigm of evil, and also contrasts exactly the three positive midos that Avram possessed are the exact opposite, that negative ones that Bilhah possesses. And when the Mishnah chooses to isolate what makes Avram so special, and therefore conversely, what made Bilhah so terrible, so in the three that the Mishnah lists for Avram, the second one is Ruach Nemucha. And what does that mean, Ruach Nemucha? So if you see there, I have in brackets, the Bar Tanura, the famous commentary on the Mishnah, says, Anava Yisera. As great as Avram was, as revolutionary as he was, as impactful as he was, as incredible as he was, he nevertheless had an incredible amount, excess amount of Anava. Not just a little bit, but an incredible amount of Anava, which is contrasted in the continuation of the Mishnah with the terrible, terrible Midos that Bilhah had. And anyone who follows these bad Midos is considered a student, as it were, or a continuation of Bilhah. And what is one of those? Ruach Gavoha, to be arrogant. So we see not only is this a characteristic of Avram in the positive sense, but a person who's arrogant, again, even if you have all sorts of other Midos, but a person who's arrogant is really keeping much more in line with the tradition of Bilhah, God forbid, a horrible, horrible Rasha. One of the most important sources in all of Chazal that speaks about the importance of Anava and the evils of arrogance is a Gemara at Masech Sota, starting on Daf Daled, going through to Daf Hey. I'll just highlight a few of the key lines and key takeaways from that Gemara. And again, in many ways you could say the Gemara is hyperbolic. I wouldn't disagree, but again, it underscores if Chazal speak in even what seem to be exaggerated terms, so even if we, you know, discount a little bit for the exaggeration, what we're left with is a clear and consistent message of a moral condemnation of someone who is arrogant. So for example, the Gemara in the first line says that anyone who is arrogant is as if they worshipped idols, or it's as if they denied Hashem, kafar b'ikar, or it's as if they were involved in sexual immorality. Right? Now, you could say, is being arrogant any of those things? Maybe on some level you could find aspects of all three if we had more time. But the more important and obvious point for us is those are the really bad ones. And nevertheless, arrogant is considered equivalent to those. The Gemara here also suggests a pasuk. We'll get back to that in another source. So let's leave that for now as perhaps the source for the prohibition of being arrogant. And then the Gemara goes on and talks about how someone who is arrogant, they should basically be burnt like an avodah zarah tree in Asherah. Ain afro nina'er, as it says in the third line, which basically is an allusion to tchiyat ha'mesim. Even if they have all the other virtues, when Hashem comes time to revive the dead, they won't deserve to be revived. Hashem laments their existence. And then, in a really, really dramatic statement, very vivid, and if you were ever a fan of the old westerns from your youth, we know that kind of one of those famous lines is, you know, where the sheriff says to the bad guy, you know, there isn't room in this town for two of us. Well, I'm not sure if Hollywood got it from this Gemara or not, but says the Gemara at the end of this source that Hashem says to a person who's arrogant, you and I can't live in this world together. There's not enough room for both of us in this world. Again, it's a very figurative statement. I can't imagine it's meant to be taken literally, but it's a dramatic and effective way for Chazal to convey just how much here God himself, in a very personal way, hates arrogance and hates those who are arrogant. And lastly, very importantly, as a transition to the next source in the Rambam, but the Gemara already hints at that arrogance is something that a person has to be an extremist about. Most of us are probably of the mindset and even hardwired to be against extremism of any kind. I personally subscribe to that as a general rule, but like most rules, there are exceptions. And the Gemara here indicates that we should be extremists when it comes to humility or avoiding arrogance. Says the Gemara, lo mina v'lo miktasa. I can't even have a little bit, not even a little bit, no arrogance. And this idea of going to the extreme when it comes to humility or arrogance is most famously and most importantly and strikingly articulated by the Rambam in the next source. As we all know, and this is the source where the Rambam does it, the Rambam is world famous, world renowned for his doctrine of the Shvil HaZahav, the golden mean. How in all sorts of midos, a person shouldn't go to either extreme, but to be a balanced individual. Don't be too generous, but don't be too miserly. Don't be too courageous, but don't be too scared. All sorts of examples that the Rambam gives, and we should apply them even to examples he didn't give. However, the Rambam says there are two exceptions, only two exceptions, in which the middle way and moderation is not desired, but rather a person has to go to the extreme. And the first example that the Rambam gives is exactly our topic. Osur lo la'odom linhog behen bebeinunius el yisrachek min ha-katzeh achad ad ha-katzeh acher. Says the Rambam, there are certain midos where it's prohibited to be a moderate. A person has to go to the other extreme, and what is that first one? Gova halev. A person has to be completely extreme in their rejection of arrogance. Rather, a person should just be humble, just be an anav, and not be arrogant in any way whatsoever. And again, it's not just saying that you're an extremist in humility. That's an important statement. But when you realize it's the Rambam, and that the Rambam has an entire doctrine of moderation, which again, he shouldn't be, he's not apologetic for, neither should we be. It's not our topic, but it's an important to understand what the Rambam means by moderation. He does not mean to be wishy-washy about things. You could be a passionate moderate, but nevertheless, the Rambam himself says there are exceptions, and this is one of the exceptions. Before we transition to the second and final part of the shiur, which is to try to understand what exactly humility is, since we have spent 15 minutes talking about its importance, we certainly, I owe you to get around to actually defining the concept. But before we do that, I just want to spend one more minute and just mention that there are a number of sources that speak about humility and arrogance as actual mitzvos, and not just bad midos or mussar ideas. So just very briefly, in the Rishonim, not everyone subscribes to this view, but I did give you, for example, at the bottom of the top of the first page, the Smag, who tells an amazing story. He wrote a whole book of mitzvos. He finished his 613 mitzvos, and then he was complete. And in his book, he didn't mention anything about humility or arrogance. But he writes, if you see what's on the second line where I have it underlined, he says, I had a dream. I went to bed thinking I was giving, you know, so to speak, the galleys to the printer. And that night, I got spoken to in a dream. B'chalom b'maras alayla. And in the dream, they told me, you forgot the most important part of the book. You forgot to put in the prohibition against being arrogant. And he quotes at the end of this source, the Gemara we just saw in Sota, and the Pasuk of Hishar Melecha Pentishkach Hashem. A person shouldn't be so arrogant that they think that they're everything, that they're the king of the world, and they forget about Hashem. What an incredible thing. Again, I don't know what that means to have a dream like that. I'm not the Smag, but here you have one of the Rishonim writing that as far as he was concerned intellectually, he wrote a whole Sefer listing the 613 mitzvos, and he didn't mention it. But because he had a dream one night, in fact, he changed it and included the prohibition of being arrogant. On the flip side, another one of the Rishonim there in the next source, top of the second page, the Sefer HaYireim, see, he quotes as a positive mitzvah to be humble. And he says, Lo matzasi ikar, because I can't really find a pasuk that says in a typical way, you must be humble. But he says, there is the famous pasuk in Parshas Bahaloscha, complimenting Moshe. Vayish Moshe anav mi'od mikol adam. Moshe was the most humble person. Says the Yireim, Moshe may have excelled more than you I ever will. But if this is how the Torah chooses to singularly and to emphasize this is what Moshe is complimented for, this is Moshe's greatness, if that's the case, says the Yireim, Lamadnu shemitzvah lios adam anav v'shvel ruach. We may not be able to be Moshe, but obviously there's a mitzvah for all of us to be humble. Okay, so we've seen numerous sources, and again, you'll trust me, this is a small sampling of the plethora of sources in Chazal, Medrash, and Gemara that talk about the importance of humility, the evils of arrogance. We saw that it might even be not only a midah, but specific mitzvos, according to some. But now the real question for our final 11, 12, 13 minutes is, what exactly is humility? And I ask that question because I think that in most cases, people are operating under a misunderstanding and a confusion. I think if you ask the average person what is humility, it basically is equivalent to denying one's talents or one's ability or one's blessings. You know, you could talk to someone, you say about this certain athlete or this certain movie star or this certain successful business person, oh, they're very, very humble. Oh, and you, in our mind, we think that means is, you know, if I would ask them, oh, not me, no, I'm nothing, you know, other people are better than me, I'm not so special, don't focus on me. Right? We think that that's what humility means. The problem is that in most cases, if that's how we would define humility, it would basically be equivalent to being dishonest or self-deception. It's impossible, it's inconceivable, axiomatically, that one midah, humility, would come at the expense of another one, being dishonest. But it's more than that. If Hashem has given you brachas in your life, Hashem has given you unique talents, you're an artist, you're a musician, you're good at learning, you're a good Baal Chesed, whatever it is, if you've accomplished great things, and again, as a believing Jew, we believe that that happens b'chazdei Hashem. So if Hashem has given us bracha, for us to deny that in the name of humility would basically mean that we're being what? We're being a kafoy tov, we're being an ingrate, we're denying Hashem's blessings. How could it be? Again, I say it's axiomatic, it's inconceivable that the Torah would extol one virtue, such as humility, if it required us to deny God's blessings and to be a kafoy tov. It's impossible. And last but not least, I would say something which we're particularly sensitive to in our generation, which is that excessive humility could easily slide into insecurity, self-doubt, depression. It could be unhealthy. Could it really mean when the Torah says you should be very humble, when the Rambam says you should be extremist in humility, that the Rambam would think a person should spend their whole lives really thinking, ich bin a gornisht? Could that really be what humility means? And just to kind of, you know, top it all off, to raise the question, you have the next source, the second source on the page, the Gemara in Sota, an incredible Gemara. At the end of Masechet Sota, the Gemara is listing various great rabbis who excelled at a certain midah, a certain attribute. And the Gemara is saying that they were so great at that attribute that when that rabbi died, that was it. You know, no one else could live up to that standard. That attribute is pretty much vanished from the world when that rabbi died. So the Gemara says that when Rebbe died, the great Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Batla HaAnava, he was such a humble person. When he died, there's no more humility in the world. And right away, the Gemara says, what happens? One of the other Chachamim, Amrei Rav Yosef Latana, Rav Yosef is sitting there, and he's hearing this Tana say, you know, there's no more humility in the world now that Rebbe died. And so what does Rav Yosef say? Lo teisi anava, de'ika ana. No, you should include humility, you should not include humility on your list of things which don't exist in the world anymore. De'ika ana, because I'm here and I'm humble. Now, if we were giving a shir on the Gemara's sense of humor, maybe we'd include this list as well. But can you imagine such a thing? In our traditional, conventional definition of humility, this Gemara makes no sense. Rav Yosef is saying, wait, you know, listen up. Don't say there's no more humility in the world. I'm around. I'm humble. How does that shtim, as we might say? How does that work? How does that consistent with what we think of? And the answer is it's not. Clearly, we have to go back to the basics and redefine what does humility mean. So we don't have that much time left, but I'd like to suggest three ideas, all of which I think are true. I think they're complementary to one another. And the common denominator of all three is that I think that I'm not going to tell you that there's no source in Judaism that disagrees with what I'm going to say. But what I am convinced of is the truth, and I'm giving you an example of, and there's more where it comes from, of sources who agree with me. The common denominator of all of the points I'm about to make is that humility should not be confused with ich bin a gornisht, that I'm a nobody. If anything, that's a Christian idea of humility. It's very much, in my opinion, not a Jewish idea, and I think it's wrong. We are absolutely supposed to have a self-awareness and healthy self-esteem. And if we're successful, if we're good, if we're talented, we should be aware of that and appreciative of Hashem's brachos. But there is such a thing called humility. So what does humility mean? So I think it can mean any one of three things. One possibility is that it means, it relates to how we interact with other people. It's one thing to be aware of your talents, your abilities, your blessings, but that can never come at the expense of the way we view others and certainly not the way we treat other people. The Netziv of Valoshin in the Hamek Dover, the next source on your sheet, he makes this point, and he says it's clear that anava has nothing to do with self, you know, abnegation, denying yourself. Absolutely, he says, you have to be makir atzmo. A person has to know who they are, and if they are successful, if they are accomplished, if they are talented, one has to be aware of it. Rather, what does it mean? Second line, anav means mitnaheg bali chashash al kvodo. You're not focusing on your kavod. You're not focusing on the honor, the trappings, the way people give you respect. That's not what's important to you. In a similar vein, in the next source, the Tiferes Yisrael, one of the commentaries on Pirkei Avos, he makes this point about Moshe. When the Torah itself attests that Moshe is the most humble person in all of history, Did you ever bother to think, what does that mean to say that Moshe was very humble? Did Moshe not realize how special he was? Did Moshe deny? If you would have asked Moshe, you hooked him up to a lie detector test, did Moshe think he was no better than anybody else? So says the Tiferes Yisrael, it's inconceivable, he says. Of course Moshe realized who he was. Of course he was. Nevertheless, says the Tiferes Yisrael, what does it mean? That Moshe or anyone else who is humble like Moshe, Eino mityaher ela manmich et atzmo b'chesed. He's not looking to aggrandize himself above other people, but to the extent he lowers himself, it doesn't mean that he denies the truth. It means that he's out to use his talents as chesed to help other people. But of course, says the Tiferes Yisrael, Moshe knew who he was, and anyone who has talents should be honest about what those talents are. So the first, I think, explanation and answer for what true humility is knowing who we are, but not using that as a way of getting attention or getting honor or getting kavod, but rather using those talents, A, in a way that doesn't squeeze out other people, and if anything, can help other people. The great C.S. Lewis, the great Christian apologist and writer, once perceptively said, and I think it's very consistent with what we mentioned just now, he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And that's exactly what the Nitziv was saying. Not so focused on yourself, not focusing on what society or other people can give you, but not, of course, denying who we were. Number two, a second idea I want to mention from here, the source is from the Or Yechezkel, and that is that you, of course, aware who you are, as he says there, Mekorah Begadlus Halev, you understand what talents you have. But nevertheless, it's because you think about how great Hashem is and how great a mission you have in this world, how great a mission it is to be a Jew, how great your unique mission is, and therefore, no matter how great you are, you're constantly reminded of how much further you have to go to accomplish whatever it is that Hashem has given the Jewish people and you specifically in this world. By thinking not about why I'm more talented than my neighbor down the block, but thinking about how great Hashem is and how great and awesome Hashem has given us a responsibility, that focuses our attention and will make us humble in the sense, again, not of denying who we are, but seeing it in perspective, in the perspective of the greatness of Hashem, who we can obviously never compare to, and even the greatness and the awesomeness of the responsibility and the mission that we've been given. That's a second complementary idea. Again, common denominator, we know who we are. We don't have to deny it. And we're thankful to Hashem for his brachos. But according to this perspective, the focus is not so much on how we treat other people. Again, not that it's not true, but that's not the focus. Rather, the focus is how we view ourselves vis-a-vis Hashem and the mission he's given us. And last but not least, in this vein, I want to quote from Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the Ruach Chaim in the beginning of the fourth parak of Perkei Avos, where he suggests it's not how we relate to other people or even how we relate to Hashem, but rather it is ben adam la'atzmo, how we relate to ourselves. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the true measure of any man or woman in this world is how much, to what extent, they fulfill their individual potential. No matter how great your accomplishments are, what's impressive or not is how much you've used the potential that Hashem has given you. And says the Ruach Chaim, a person, no matter how great their accomplishments are, and they could be really great, but a person always has to be humble because they always have to be wondering and questioning, is it, even if I've accomplished great things, who said I'm truly fulfilling my potential? Maybe someone down the block who has much more modest accomplishments, but maybe he or she are getting 100% out of the limited gifts Hashem gave them. I may be doing great things, but that's because Hashem gave me great talent. And maybe I'm only using 50% of my talent. If I'm using 50% of my talent to accomplish one thing, and somebody's accomplishing quote-unquote less, but with 100% of their abilities, then that person is going to be more beloved in the eyes of Hashem. So Sef Nefesh HaChaim, we always have to be humble, because we always have to be thinking about, well, how much more can we do to accomplish and fulfill our human potential? Just to conclude in my last minute, I will just mention as a summary, what we have seen is, of course, many, many sources extolling humility, condemning arrogance. It may even be mitzvos or averos, as the case may be. And then we saw that the simplistic, conventional understanding of humility is really a denial of self. It's unhealthy, it's dishonest, and I don't think it's fundamentally Jewish. So what is humility? Number one is vis-a-vis other people, not looking for kavod, not looking to aggrandize ourselves, but helping other people. Number two, realizing vis-a-vis Hashem, we're still nothing compared to him. And number three, always measuring ourselves against our potential and always trying to push more to fulfill that potential. Just to conclude, I will mention as a final source, the Kedushas Levi, the Levi Yitzchak Berdichev and Parshas Ekev points out that there's at least one place where arrogance is good. Where is Gaiva good? It says that's when it comes to our mitzvos. Humility might tell us, what's it matter if I do a mitzvah or not? What's the matter if I daven today? What's the matter if I learn today? What's the matter if I come to a shir today? Who am I? Why would Hashem care? Says Rabbi Vilitzak, on the contrary, Adarabba, Adam Sarach Lomar, Maasei She'ani Osem, Mitzvos, Hashem Eitzel HaSbarach, Kaviyoch HaYishlo, Tainig Min HaMitzvos, Sheli She'ani Osem. A person has to say, Hashem loves me, and Hashem loves my mitzvos. To deny that Hashem would care whether I do a mitzvah or not, says that Rabbi Vilitzak, Zehu Kfira. So it's just to make one final point and to make the topic even more intriguing, hopefully not complicated, but intriguing. Not only have we seen a nuanced view of what humility is, but we've also seen that in this final point, that there's at least some room for a healthy sense of confidence and really a full sense of self. And that is, I count. I am a somebody. Hashem cares about me, and therefore Hashem cares whether I'm doing the right thing or not. Because that is something that will energize us and hopefully help us focus and inspire us to do the right thing. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. I appreciate having you here for this third shiur. And Mirtz Hashem, you look forward to enjoying Rabbi Brand's shiur. And I look forward to seeing you all next week.